For those of you who don't know me, my name is Simpson Charlton. I'm part of the eldership team, and I'm usually seen leading worship across the sites as we are a multi-site church. I live in sunny Bognor Regis. Yep. With my wonderful wife, and yes, five wonderful children. Four of them being girls, until 2 years ago, I was blessed, truly blessed, with a son. He's 2 years old. The girls are wonderful. My son's just different. The girls were easy. He's just different. I said to him the other day, son, it's time for you to go to bed. And he said, no, daddy, no. It's time for your bed. But we love our children, and it's just wonderful. It's just a wonderful blessing from God. It's great to be with you guys today. It's been a while since I've spoken here. I know I lead worship here on a regular basis, but it's been a while since I've spoken here. Now, I don't know whether to take that as a good thing, because it's been over a year, or a bad thing, but I'm not really that disappointed. So it's just good to be here. It feels good. It's been a good morning, and the presence of God is here. The presence of God through our worship time has been here this morning. And let's not lose that. As we hear from what God wants to say, let's not lose that. Let's remain in his presence. Let's focus on him. We're going to be getting into the Bible today and looking at the next part of the Joshua series. For those of you who don't have Bibles, please stick up your hands and feel free as they come along. If you don't own a Bible, feel free to keep this one as a gift from Grace Church if you don't own your own. Okay, the Bibles will come round. We're going to be looking at, get grips with this, we're going to be looking at Joshua 10, verses 1 to 5, 1 to 15. We'll get onto the Bible reading shortly. But before that, I'm going to provide you with some background information of where we're going to be going. Throughout the series, we've seen God's hand upon Joshua and the Israelites, and how Joshua, through the promises of God, has led the Israelites into the land. We've seen them overcome Jericho, cross Jordan, and how they've finally arrived into the promised land. We've seen over the last couple of months how Israel and we as a church have learned about God being our Father, about winning battles through worship. We've learned how the church is saved by grace in order to be holy, and how we need to take sin seriously. We've learned that prayer is very important, and it's not to be taken for granted. I know last week Chris spoke on prayer and the importance of it. And again, this week, there'll be some overlap as we get into the talk. We've also seen how the Israelites had taken Jericho and Ai, and how the Gibeonites had got scared and were forced into deceiving the Israelites. And how Israel was deceived because they didn't seek God and come to him in prayer. So I ask you the question this morning. What battles are you facing today? What battles are you facing today? We will come back to that question later on. But I do want you to think about it. It could be battles with family problems. It could be difficult marriage, financial difficulties. It could be problems with identity, known who you are. It could be a multiple of things. Sin issues, addictions that you are struggling with. What problems and what battles are you facing today? So let's get into the scripture. Joshua 10, verse 1 to 8. Not Joshua 10, verse 1 to 15, sorry. As soon as Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had captured Ai and had devoted it to destruction, doing to Ai and its kings as he had done to Jericho and its kings, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, he feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were warriors. So Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hohem, king of Hebron, to Piram, king of Jarmuth, to Japhia, king of Lachish, and to Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come up to me and help me, and let us strike Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the people of Israel. Then the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered their forces and went up with all their armies and encamped against Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp in Gilgal, saying, do not relax your hands from your servant. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the hill country are gathered against us. So Joshua went up from Gilgal, and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you. And the Lord threw them into a panic before Israel, who struck them with a great blow at Gibeon and chased them by the way of ascent of Beth Horon and struck them as far as Ezekah and Makkedah. And as they fled before Israel, while they were going down to the ascent of Beth Horon, the Lord threw down large stones from heaven on them as far as Ezekah, and they died. There were more who died because of hailstones than the sons of Israel killed with the sword. At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel, and he said, in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still at Gibeon, and the moon in the valley of Aijalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. There has been no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So Joshua returned and all Israel with him to camp at Gilgal. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you already that you are moving in this place. You are moving in hearts and lives. Father God, we give you praise and we give you honor and we give you glory, and we just say, Lord, would you just have your way this morning? As we get into your word now, Lord Jesus, would you speak? Would you challenge hearts? Father God, I pray that no one leaves here without meeting with you, Heavenly Father. And we'd come to a place of knowing what it is to bow, knowing that we have the victory in you, Jesus. Father God, have your way this morning. It's all for your glory. In your name, amen. I've entitled this talk, Understanding the Spiritual Battle. Now, to understand the spiritual battle, let us firstly understand physical battles we face and the spiritual battles we face within this context. We know the Israelites would have fought physical battles. So they would have fought with swords. They would have fought with armor. They would have fought with weapons. And I know what it's like to fight a physical battle growing up on the streets of Liverpool. I have had my fair share of battles physically. Yeah. But they also, the Israelites also knew what it's like to have a God who fights for them in the spiritual sense. As they had seen his hand time and time again deliver them, they'd seen him move in a powerful way. It says this in Ephesians 6, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Ephesians 6, verse 12. We need to understand the battle we face as Christians are not with weapons and fists, but it will be against spiritual forces. It will be against forces of evil in the heavenly places. So with this in mind, I have 3 points for you. Point number one, understanding our battles. Number two, why do we face spiritual battles? Number three, how do we overcome the battles we face? Let's take point one. In chapter 10, verse 1 to 5, we read out the Amorite kings had joined forces and come up to attack Gibeon, who through their deception in Joshua 9 had been saved by the Israelites. We see back in chapter 9 how the Israelites had been deceived by not seeking counsel from God. How we see that in our own lives, in this society today, how we see that in times when we do not seek counsel, things often go wrong. It could be in a relationship. It could be in a job situation. It could be in a house move. I know there's times I've spoke to many people when I was doing youth work of, you know, relationships and guys within the church and just going out with people that they shouldn't be going out with. And if they say, oh, we feel it's all right, what if we sought counsel in that area? No, but it feels right. We have a God that we can call on. I know in my life there's times where I've not sought counsel. I know that. And I've seen the consequences of that also. We also see that in the Gibeonites, in joining with Israel, are now a part of God's family. Even through their deceit, they are still shown grace, favor, and mercy. Know that even in our sin, God, he rescues us. Even in our sin, he rescues us. We need to understand that we have a sinful nature. We all have a sinful nature and are born into sin because of Adam and the fall. And the flesh and the spirit are at war with each other. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these oppose each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. It says that In Galatians 5:17. In James 4:1 it says this: what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions, your flesh, are at war within you? The flesh and the spirit are at war. Ephesians 2 verse 4 to 5 says this: but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Even though the Gibeonites are now saved, by the grace of God, they've come under the Israelites and they are saved by God. And even though they are saved, they still come under attack in a big way. Have you ever noticed the minute we take a step of faith for Christ Jesus, then things seem to come up against us. Things seem to go wrong. Things seem to fall down. We need to understand that the battles that we are facing daily are real. The battles that we face in this world and daily are real. The battle that Gibeon was about to face was real. But they knew who to call on in their time of trouble. They knew who to call on. Who do you call on in your time of trouble? Who will you call upon in your time of trouble and needs? In Joshua 10, verse 6 to 8, it says this: and then the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp in Gilgal, saying, do not relax your hand from your servant. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the hill country are gathered against us. So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you. We need to understand this. Gibeon were sinners. They get saved by joining Israel. And God fights their battles. We, sinners, we get saved by accepting Jesus Christ. God fights our battles. Sin has no power when we choose to follow Christ. And God, he now fights our battles. So then, why do we face spiritual battles? We have a real enemy. And he comes to steal and destroy your lives. John 10:7-11 says this: so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There is an enemy at work, which is the devil. And he wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. But let's not worry or be dismayed, for we have the good shepherd, Jesus, who laid down his life so that you and me could come before him and be saved. Jesus, the good shepherd, laid down his life so that you and me can be saved. There may even be some people here this morning that don't know Jesus. Today, he says, I am the door. If you enter, you will be saved and find new pastures, a new life, and a fresh start. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you at the end of the meeting, and we'll allow some time for that. So please don't leave without just coming and getting prayer at the end of the meeting. Also, can I be bold enough to say, even when we face spiritual battles, God is good and he helps us to grow. Even when we face difficulty, God is good and he helps us to grow. Romans 5 verse 1 to 4 says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of glory, in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. James 1, 2 to 4 says this, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I know that when I'm going through suffering times, when I'm going through times where, you know, I'm going through a battle, the last thing that I want to do is rejoice. When I'm just being real, the last thing that I want to do when I'm going through hardship and struggles is rejoice. You know, I'm probably moaning and being grumpy and, you know, saying all sorts. But when I really think about it and look at his words that says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Knowing that the good shepherd's rod and staff comfort me, brings me to a place of worship and adoration. Brings me to a place of, yeah, Father, all I want to do is honor you. All I want to do is lift you up. The good shepherd's rod and staff are your comfort, are your guide. How do we overcome the battles that we face? I have a colleague. He's worked for me for about 6 years. He's the longest guy that's worked for me. So he's worked for me for about 6 years. Worked longer than anyone else. He's my confidant. He runs the business when I'm not around. He's the best decorator. He does carpentry, does everything. So he's must say, everybody knows that if I'm not about, they see him. They probably see him even when I'm about, you know, because he's that good. Yeah? And he's a real close friend as well, and he's loyal. He's a loyal worker. But he doesn't know Jesus yet. He doesn't know Jesus. He lets me speak to him, and he's not against. You know, you speak to him about the gospel, or about, I've tried to get him to Alphas, and he always goes, oh, if you convince the wife, and she's the hard nut to crack. 6 weeks ago, he's driving to work, he gets some heart murmurs, just thinks it's nothing, goes in. I knew something was wrong because he never, ever misses a day off work. I go in and see him. He phones me and says, not in work, just getting some checks out, I've got some bail. I said, fine, I'll come and see you. Go to the hospital. I turn up at the hospital to see him. And I knew something was wrong straight away. Because I wasn't like them. They were a bit tearful. And he then says to me, look, I've got lung cancer. And it's spreading. To the point now, in 5 weeks, he can hardly speak. He's pressing on his vocal cords and he can hardly speak. Me and Mel are devastated. Devastated with the news. As well as all the other work guys that work with us. What can I do? What can I do? You see, Joshua knows that in facing the five kings, the five Amorite kings, he knew that he would need God's help. Guess what? God comes to his aid. The Lord says to Joshua, do not be afraid. I have given them into your hands. Joshua had heard God speak to him like this before. In Joshua 1:5. So he knew from past experiences, when God speaks like that, the battle is already won. He knew that. The Gibeonites had also seen Israel gain victory after victory through God leading them. And they knew who to put their trust in. They knew. Let me tell you this. We overcome the battles we face by calling on his name, by trusting and believing his word, and by walking it out in faith. Joshua called on God, trusted in what he said, and went into battle knowing the victory was theirs. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So for Chris, what do me and Mel do? We stand firm on God's word. We stand firm on God's word and his promises. So every time I go to see Chris, every time I go to see him, every time I go around and I'm about to leave, I say this. I know you don't believe, but I know a God that saves and he heals and he restores. And I'm trusting God for a miracle. So now I'm going to pray. Every time I go around, he may not like it, but I tell him what I'm going to do. And me and Mel pray. And he allows me to do that. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. By his stripes, we are healed. Now, I'm not just praying for a physical healing. I'm also praying for a spiritual healing. I'm praying for his salvation. Because I believe and I trust in God's word. I trust in God's word. I've often heard people say, and I must admit, I've said it at times, well, all we can do is pray. Well, if all you can do is pray, that's good enough for me. Because that's the weapon that we need to be using. If all you can do is pray, that's good enough for me. Because when all you can do is pray, you're allowing God to have full control of the situation. And we need to be praying on all occasions, in every situation. James 4 verse 2 says this, you do not have because you do not ask. James 5 16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We learn to overcome the battles that we face by calling on the name of the Lord and believing in his word. If God says it in his word, guess what? He will do it. He will do it. It says in Numbers 23:19, it says this, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? God doesn't change his mind. If he says it, he will do it. This is the God that we serve. So, what happens with unanswered prayer? I feel we're in good company here. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 9. Paul pleads with God three times about taking the thorn in his flesh away. And the response was this, my grace is sufficient for my power is made stronger in weakness. Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, if it's possible, please let this cup pass. But not my will, but your will be done. And guess what? He still went to the cross. I am glad. I am so glad that prayer was unanswered. where would I be without him? We need to trust in God's wisdom. And know that in all things, God works for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Now I've had some answered prayers in my time. And for some of them, I give God thanks for not answering them. I truly give God thanks. There was a time, some of you know, that we were praying to move away. We thought that, yeah, it was right to move away from Grace Church and go back to closer to where we'd move from. And we prayed. And we thought that it was right. And we sought God. I'm so glad that God never answered that prayer. Because what I see God doing in our lives, what I see God doing through the church, when I see the lives of lives being transformed, when I'm getting involved in the prison, I am so glad that his will for our lives was the best one. I'm so glad for unanswered prayer. You also realize that there are times when we pray for things like healing or something else, and they don't ever get answered in this lifetime. Listen, I don't know what will happen to Chris, even when I'm believing and trusting God for a miracle. I don't know what will happen there. But I know that God is sovereign over all things. And I trust him in the good times and the bad times. In the good times and the bad times of my life, and I've been through many, I trust God because he is sovereign. So I asked you a question at the beginning. What about you? What battles are you facing? I'm going to get the band up. And as they come up, think about that question. What battles are you facing today? Now that could be a difficult marriage. Listen, God will fight for you. It could be a tricky relationship. Guess what? God will fight for you. You could be in financial difficulty. Guess what? God will fight for you. It could be just everyday struggles. Every day, just life seems tough. God will fight for you. Will you allow God to be sovereign and reign? Will you allow him to fight for you this morning? As we prepare as a church to take the land. We need to know and walk knowing that we have the authority through the Father and through the Son and through the Holy Spirit, even in and through difficult situations. By allowing God to fight our battles, we shall overcome. As we worship this morning, if you know God has been speaking to you, then I'd love to pray. I'd love to pray. Prayer doesn't exist for God to find out what we need. Matthew 6:8 says this: your Father knows what you need before you even ask. He knows. But you've got to come before him and ask. He knows. It's God that we serve. Through your battles, through your struggles, through your disappointments, through your pain, allow God to fight your battle this morning.